he is from all different nations and all different backgrounds. The worship was awesome. And I had this thought, okay, that I'm glad that you were captured by the love of God instead of being captured with a talent scout, you know. It's a pleasure for me to be here amongst you. And I think about this is the home of William Carey. This is the home of George Muller. This is the home of John Wesley. This is the home of David Livingston. And this, okay, is what I want. One of the things I'd love to have you take home, the same spirit that was in these men, mightily used by God, and the same spirit that was in a missionary to Africa, Schlesinger, and the same spirit that was in Amy Carmichael, that same spirit, the Holy Spirit, is within each one of you, each believer, okay? And he gives us full measure. It's not a partial. It's not something, okay, that we have to go. The full measure of the Holy Spirit, okay, is given the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And I love, and that, by the way, it's the home of Charles Spurgeon, right? And he made this statement. He said, you know, the Word of God is like a lion in a cage. All you have to do is let it out, and it will do its work, okay? The Word of God is powerful. The gospel is powerful. We are living in a hopeless world, a world that is just gives temporary hope, but we have an eternal hope. And we have a hope that will last 10 millenniums, 10,000 years, and forevermore, right? And so let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather together in your name. We thank you, Lord, for the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. We thank you, Lord, that you have invited us, you have called us by name unto you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, your word is precious, your word is powerful. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for each member here in your precious and holy name. Amen. Well, Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, okay, the great evangelist in the U.S., he came to Baltimore, Maryland. And I was out of town at that time, but he had a simple message that God loves you. That's what he said. God loves you. God's love is powerful. God's love is life-transforming. You know, you think about what the love of God does. You know, we send off, okay, rockets to the moon. But the love of God is so much, much more powerful. And we wonder, our text today is Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah is my wife's favorite book in the Bible, and we can certainly say why. I love, okay, the book of Song of Solomon. I had a little trouble with Song of Solomon because I'm not a poet, but I do enjoy reading poetry. But Song of Solomon is just a love story, and it's beautiful. It is beautiful. And you know what? And the Holy Spirit puts us in that love story. And we are recipients of that love. And so in Jeremiah, okay, chapter 31, verse 2, 3, and 4. At the same time, starting with verse 1, at the same time the Lord, I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. By the way, okay, grace is a channel where God's love flows. It is a channel, grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Now, verse 3 and 4 is the text. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee, and I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with the tabrets, and it shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry." So there's 5 points in love. And you'll see that in these 2 verses. The love of God is personal, is for you. The love of God, okay, is eternal. It never will stop. 10,000 years and forevermore, we will be experiencing that. The love of God is drawing, and the love of God is building, and the love of God is purifying. That's the 5 aspects, the points, the quality of love, as said. And you can go back, and you can, at home today, you can read 3 and 4, and you can find them where they are. The first aspect of God's love is personal, that I have loved you. It is personal. You know, someone was... he was not overly receptive, and I was not talking with him, but I overheard. He was beginning, okay, like arguments on the love of God. But when the love of God becomes very, very personal in his life, there's no arguments. There is no arguments. He said, with an everlasting love, and it's personal. You might say there's many definitions of salvation, but a definition that I like, okay, is salvation is when you receive the love of God personally. You might say it's a rhema. I really personally, fresh, a promise to me, God communicates his love towards us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God commends his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He means he personally directs his love to us. You know, you think back, okay, how quickening God's love is, you know, and you know how personal it is. You know how supernatural it is, how mystical it is. You know, the chemist, okay, I think there was advertisement on our telly, we call it television, that they were trying to find out the ingredients in love. They were saying, okay, we know, okay, the ingredients in water, H2O, you know, that is water. But the chemists were trying to quantify, they were trying to, what is, okay, love? Pastor Schaller, our head pastor in Baltimore, Maryland, how do you describe love? Well, you can describe it like a birthday party for like a 5-year-old little boy. Or a 5-year-old, that is like, really, that's what love is. The birthday party is not the cake. It is something that you could not see. It's an expression of a love of a family to that little boy. Well, the chemist and the world tries to quantify and qualify and then to look, okay, what's in the love of God? But the love of God we know is real. There is like in Proverbs chapter 30, it talks about things, okay, that are mystical. And it's like, you know, they talk, okay, the way of a snake, okay, on a rock. They talk about a ship in the midst of the sea. That's mystical. But then they talk about love. Love, okay. And you cannot, but you know it's real. Like when you fall in love with your wife, you know, for the first time, you know it's real. It's indescribable. And when God's love, like, really penetrates you, it's amazing. It really is. It was quoted, okay, like in the worship songs today in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, that when we experience the love of God, when we see Him face to face, that we shall be like Him. The love of God is very, very personal. The second point is the love of God is eternal. It's eternal. Now, you know, some individuals may believe, okay, God's love is going to stop. Human love can stop, but God's love never, okay, stops. God never stops loving you. And He will chase you like the hounds of heaven with His love. His love, okay, chases you and, okay, captures you. And thank God that probably the majority, if probably not all, have experienced the love of God. If you experience, okay, salvation for the first time and the only time, you're experiencing God's love. You're experiencing God's love. It's eternal. It will never stop. And He says in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, He says, I will make a new covenant with you. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. And I will put my law in your inward parts and write it in your heart. Well, you know what? You ever write a love letter to somebody? Did you ever receive a love letter? A love letter, okay, is not like a newspaper. Read a newspaper and then you chuck it out. Maybe you'll clip something, but you may or whatever, you know, something's important to you. But a love letter, you do not throw out. You know, we all get gifts, okay, for certain birthdays and different things like that. But, you know, to me, is the greatest thing is the card. I think maybe, okay, that you, when you get older, the thing you really keep, the gift may wear out. The gift may be something you don't really like. The gift may be something, okay, that doesn't fit you. Not your color. I mean, I'm colorblind. I wear anything. But anyway, okay, that gets old. But really, the card. How many keep cards in this room? You got it. Yeah. Yeah, you put it in the safe place. You keep it. Maybe every once in a while you pick it out and read it. You know, this book here. This book is a love letter. It's a love letter from heaven. That's not just a quick little catchy little phrase. It really is a love letter. And the more and more we read this book, the more and more that we are experiencing God's love. The more and more that we are convinced of God's love. That God's love is eternal. So we keep love letters. Love letters are very, very special. They're like tenderizing our heart. They are like warming up our heart. You know what? Maybe years ago, okay, you had to put wood on the fire. You know, when they pull, you got to put wood on the fire. And, you know, God says, I want you stir up, okay, the gift. Stir up the love. Maybe, okay, there's times in our life where the embers get very, very low, but they are still burning. God's love is eternal, but we stir it up in different ways. We stir it up by being in the body of Christ. We stir it up by reading the Word. We stir up, and sometimes reading an old card will stir up our love. They're very, very precious. And as Pastor Larry said, that we look through things through an eternal viewpoint, and that we do not look in a temporal viewpoint. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, it says, we look on the things that are unseen, not on the things that are seen. Actually, we do not look at the things that are seen because they are temporal, but we look on the things, okay, that are unseen because they are eternal. And that's an amazing thing. Now, the third point is God's love is drawing. You know what? How many can remember the first time and the only time that you became a believer in Christ? Remember that? Remember? We received Christ, okay? Heard Amanda's testimony the first time and the only time, okay, that she received the love of God for an eternal salvation. And then she was in college. God captured our heart in the university, and that's an amazing time. And it was drawing. God drew us, okay? He drew us to himself by his love. And Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, I love this. It says, draw me, draw me, draw me personally, and we shall run after thee. Like, we are not alone on this walk. We are with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we, in English, is plural. Me, okay, is singular. And we will run after you. It's an amazing thing. Draw me. That's a good prayer. Draw me. I feel a little bit distant, but draw me, Lord. Draw me. Like reading God's love letter, reading a birthday card, a love letter that somebody gave you, draws you to themselves. It tenders the same way with God drawing us. Drawing. I do not know when in 1975, when I was a 24-year-old young man, and maybe some of the younger ones are calculating the age and that type of thing, if you're mathematically inclined. But I do not know why I went to a gospel meeting, a church meeting on a Friday night. But now I know. The Holy Spirit was my escort. The love of God, okay, was drawing me. The love of God the Father was drawing me to that church meeting on Friday night. And that night I gave my heart to the Lord. I had heard the gospel for the first time. I had received the love of God that was personal for the first time. And it's like an amazing thing. God draws us with his love. And he desires, okay, to capture us with his love. And when we are drifting, sometimes like as little children, how about we have mothers and fathers in this room? We have, when the little child is running, okay, in the wrong direction, like maybe, okay, wanting to go across the street, not looking, then you go and you capture that child, right? When we were running in the wrong direction, God captured us by his love. In Hosea chapter 11, verse 4, it says, let's just turn to, and Hosea is an amazing, okay, book. That's another love story. That's another story, okay, of God chasing us, okay. And I just want to read the whole verse. And it said, this is God saying, speaking, I drew them with cords of a man. What does the cords of a man speak about? That speaks about Christ on the cross. I drew them with the cords of a man, with bands of love. Two drawing powers. The bands of love, that speaks about the Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that opens up the door of salvation in John chapter 10. He is the porter. He lets you in. Churches, we have greeters at the door. Please come in. The Holy Spirit is the greeter, and he walks alongside of us. You know, to encourage, okay, to exhort, and exhorts, okay, really, really means, okay, that you invite people to walk alongside of you. Like a pastor, like Pastor Morley, he invites people, walk with me, walk with me. So, and he loves his people. And he was so excited about the song, he just spontaneously gave an amazing message. And then in John chapter 6, verse 37, says, all that the Father gives me. This is a very, very special verse to me, because that was the verse, okay, that God spoke to me. The only verse that I really knew in the Bible, okay, is more blessed to give than receive. And that is true, okay, in the book of Acts. But that's the only verse that I really remember in the church that I went to as a young man. More blessed to give than receive. But then when I heard the gospel, this verse, okay, really, really rang. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. Right? Isn't that great? All the Father gives me will come unto me, and he that cometh unto me. How many has ever been rejected in your life? How many has ever applied for a job and not got it? How many has ever wanted to be part of a team, okay, and not got it, not get picked? But you know what? Jesus doesn't operate that way. He said that all that come to me, I will turn none away. And I can remember, okay, that being a 24-year-old man, I really said, Lord, does that mean me? The Holy Spirit spoke and said, that means you. Come. It was a gathering about this size, maybe a little bit larger. Dr. Stevens was preaching. So really, to come forth, okay, everybody saw you. And afterwards, he gave an altar call. And I don't know how many got saved, but I knew I was coming forward. Because God was not going to cast me away. You know, he is not going to say, you know what, maybe later. Maybe if you do this. I said, I am coming forward. My whole life, okay, got changed. I remember, okay, growing up in the 70s and all the things that went on with the 70s. But I'll tell you what, the greatest, okay, trip that I've ever been on was being translated, okay, from the kingdom of darkness into the fellowship of his dear son. Oh, my gosh. God gave me a taste, okay, that all, really, how wonderful he was and how powerful he was and how much he loved it, as he loves each one of us. So the love of God is drawing. John chapter 6 is all talking about the drawing of the Father, the drawing of, okay, the Son, the drawing of the Holy Spirit. The fourth point is this, the love of God is building. You know, if we build ourselves up in the most holy faith, you have to learn how to build yourself up. You know, we are in this service today. We've heard wonderful worship. We've heard the word of God. We've been in the midst of body life, the midst of saints. And we will come out, the majority, if not all of us, build up, right? But you know what? There was characteristics of David's mighty men. They knew how to fight together, and they knew how to fight alone. That was her character. We have to really learn how to build yourself up. Because sometimes, I mean, the majority of the time, okay, we're not going to be gathered here. We're going to be gathered here maybe 6 hours a week, maybe 8 hour weeks. And how many is that? Maybe that leaves 150 hours, okay, that we have to learn how to build ourselves up. And we build ourselves up in the most holy faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And then, okay, we learn how to build ourselves up in the love of God. Build yourself up in the love of God. It's building. And we see this, okay, in Jeremiah 31. He says, and again, I will build thee. I will build thee. And the love of God is building. And Colossians 2:7, we are rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. And God has a building process in our life. He said He watches over us when He pulls up, when He destroys. What does He pull up? I love Great Britain because of the gardens. You know, that's one thing, you know, where things that we picked up in America, not everybody does it, but I love the gardens. You know, what do you have to do in a garden? You have to pull the weeds, right? You see a beautiful garden, there's a lot of work went into it. And God watches over us when He pulls things out of our life. And then He begins to plant. So there's a building process. And then the fifth point is that it's purifying. It is purifying. You know, in Jeremiah 31:4, it says that I therefore I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin Israel. Now, would you call Israel a virgin? Through God's eyes, Israel is a virgin. You know, we see you mentioned, okay, Israel is like adulteress. It's almost like, I think, the closest thing to God's love on this earth is the love of a mother. Nothing personal, dads, okay, because I'm a dad. But the love of God is very, very personal. Do you realize, okay, that in all countries that there are people in prison? And you know what? How does the mother come and visit her son or daughter, okay, in prison? She really goes about and says, my son didn't do that. My son would not do that. There is no way, okay, my son or my daughter would do that. Why? Because she looks, okay, through the eyes of love, the love of a mother. Well, God, okay, looks at you and me through eyes of love. And He sees us without spot. He sees us without wrinkle. He sees the end, okay, from the beginning. He does not, okay, look at our failures. I look at my failures. But when I see, even look at myself through the eyes, okay, of God's love. You know, identity is very, very important. People in the world, okay, are searching for some purpose, some identity, but the greatest, okay, identity is for each one of us to have our identity in Christ. Know yourself as God loves you. Know yourself as God loves you. How do we know? And that's why individuals, okay, that really don't read too much of the Word of God, or, okay, do not hear good finished work grace preaching, they have they have a poor identity. They have a poor identity, but thanks be to God, you are in a Word of God church, a manifesting of the love of God, and you see yourself as God sees you. You are not what you did last week. You are in God's eyes a virgin. You are in God's eyes pure. You are in God's eyes, okay, like without blemish. Without blemish. You know, you think about that. How about when people, okay, it's like when they're dating, okay, and then you see your future partner, potentially, okay, you know, but how do you see them? Like you're in love. You were in love. Do you see any of their faults? No, you really don't. You know, the statement that we use sometimes, love is blind. Well, that's true. I mean, it can be true in a good way that you don't see or blind to any of their faults. And then many times, okay, when you come married, maybe, and it shouldn't be, your love should develop and mature in that time. But when you say, I start seeing the faults. But when you are first dating, and hopefully throughout all your marriage, that you will see, okay, you won't look at the faults. God does not look at our faults. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 7, here is a great, okay, progression, if you will. Oh my gosh, I think you will. Well, how is everybody? Are you okay? All right. Okay. All right. Wow, in the back, they're okay there. We're sending up a volley here. That was a great one. By the way, this is the home of William Booth, right? Next to the Queen of England, he had the greatest, okay, the third greatest face-to-face march, funeral progression in London. Jammed the streets, okay? And actually, I said third because actually his wife, okay, even had a larger progression, only to the Queen. Whatever, I mean, she had a, you know, whatever. But here's a simple man. And he used to make this statement, okay, like, I mean, send up a volley. Send up a volley, okay. And sending up a volley means I'm going to praise the Lord. So I love that hand in the back said, hey, yes, yes, God's love. God loves me. He sees me this way. Now, here is a great progression. And you could go home and you can study and look at this. He said, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him go. Other words, okay, Ephraim is really, really failing. Okay, let him go. You know, that's a tough love, right? Let him go. Let him go. You know, I know the expression tough love. I know that God disciplines, but I'm not sure, okay, that God always, the end of God's love is not tough love. But he was saying in this way, okay, Ephraim, he's joined the idols, let him go. And then, okay, you see the progression. And then Hosea chapter 11, 8, and that's the progression from chapter 4 to chapter 11. How shall I give up Ephraim? And we can put our names and substitute it for Ephraim. I've been joined to idols. I went into the world. And the prodigal son, did the love of the father stop? He let him go, but the love of the father never stopped. And then it says, how shall I give you up, Ephraim? I said, go your way. Then God says, how shall I give you up? And this is how love changes us. In Hosea chapter 14, verse 8, the love never demands a change. but it produces the change. Love never okay demands a change. Like, you gotta change before God love you. But God okay, God's love produces that change. And this was the change, okay, in Ephraim. I said, what have I to do with idols? Love produces that change. So he goes from let him go to Ephraim saying, okay, God's saying, how shall I give you up? And then Ephraim's response, okay, what do I have to do with idols? And that's what we say as a spirit-filled believer. I have nothing to do with the world. The world cannot offer me anything. I might have ran after the world, even as a believer. Maybe not making the best decisions. Then, okay, God says, no, don't let him go. And his love, okay, produces a change in our life. You can say, what do I have to do with the world? The world has nothing to offer. So these are the five aspects of love. In closing, this is the great meditation on Jeremiah chapter 31, 3 and 4. God's love is personal. God's love is eternal. Now, eternal, does it have any stop to it? Has no stop in it. God's love is drawing. God's love is building. Build yourself up in the love of God and Jude. And God's love is purifying. The love of God produces that change in our life. Amen?
Amen.
So if there's anyone here in this room that has never personally experienced the love of God, could not really say, if I died tonight, would I go to heaven? Cannot absolutely say that. This morning, on a Sunday morning, you can personally receive and experience the love of God. Just say in your heart of hearts, you can pray it to yourself or you can pray it verbally. Dear Father in heaven, I know that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I've heard today about your amazing love, that you died on the cross for me and you shed your blood. That is the only thing that can cleanse my sins. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me and to come in my heart and to save my soul. If you said that prayer for the first time, that just lift up your hand. You're asking the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your great love. We thank you, Lord, for your gathering of your precious body of saints. And thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious and holy name. Amen.